Thank you, Francis. Now it's time for some of the letters to the evening news. The lack of cleanliness of the memorial gardens comes in for criticism from Peter Croxon of Saxingham Nethergate, who writes, I often walk through the memorial gardens above the marketplace when I am working in Norwich, and I'm disgusted and ashamed about the condition of this public space. The gardens are covered in pigeon droppings, and there is hardly a square inch which has not been fouled. This is due, no doubt, by people using the garden to eat their food, bought from one of the food stalls in the market, and this attracts the many hundreds of pigeons. Surely, the amount of bird droppings is a menace to public health, and we are also advised that the current outbreak of bird influenza is spread by bird feces. I wonder what visitors to our beautiful city think of the square, of this very prominent place. Surely the whole point of this public space is to have a place for quiet reflection in the centre of a busy city and not just a place to eat your chips and dodge the pigeon poo.
The cost of blue badges for disabled car drivers has been the subject of debate. Peter Robinson suggests those who can afford them should pay for them rather than payment be from the public purse. Having recently been given a blue badge, which has improved my car use considerably, blue badge spaces are much larger than normal and therefore cost more to be provided. Many have to be financed from public funds. It would be unfair if these costs were passed on to the general council taxpayers, when judging by the cars parked in blue badge spaces today in Norwich, the owners are well able to meet parking charges. I certainly am. It is not discrimination. Despite modern expectations that all will be free, nothing costs. Just a reasonable charge for a useful service.
We are back to the Queen's funeral for the last three letters. Doug Falcher of Thorpe St Andrew is full of praise for the organisation and BBC coverage of the funeral. If the world was ever been unsure that we, the British, couldn't organise a function in which literally thousands take part, then the funeral of our beloved Queen Elizabeth II has to remove that uncertainty. Impressive, brilliant and outstanding are just three words that cover both the event itself and the part that the BBC played in it. If anyone still believes that the £159 licence fee is too much to pay for their TV reception, then surely this colourful spectacle has put that thought to bed. The producers, directors, in fact, everyone within the organisation have been so well organised and professional and should all be congratulated for a job well done.
Glyn Linder of Frettenham liked the appearance of the corgis and the Queen's favourite pony. Much has been said about the excellent preparation and the military precision which was exhibited throughout the Queen's funeral, and the first-class extensive coverage by the media in London, Windsor and Sandringham as well. But the most poignant image for me was when the funeral cortege slowly passed the Queen's 24-year-old pony and her two corgis on the way into Windsor Castle. Their presence encapsulated the meticulous planning of the entire day, where absolutely nothing was overlooked or forgotten.
The wish that some of the funds used for the flowers had gone to the Queen's charities is mentioned again by Mary Urey of King's Lynn. What a wonderful role model our beloved Queen, who sadly passed away on September the 8th, was. My heart goes out to her family. I was deeply touched when I heard the very sad news, like many. She was a real symbol of dedication to everyone for 70 years. It was lovely to see all the flowers over the last week, but I do think that it would have been a lovely gesture if some could have been donated to Her Majesty's charities, which she was a believer in, which would not have gone to waste. I just wonder where they all end up. Do they give other people pleasure? Such as going to residential homes for the elderly.